We're all misfits.
All right, you ragtag bunch of misfits.
You're a scrappy little misfit, just like me.
Biggest bunch of misfits I've ever set eyes on.
Good morning, misfits. You are tuning into another episode of the Misfit Podcast. Full Goon Squad in the house.
Sup, sup.
Yo.
On today's episode, we are going to be taking another deep dive into the affiliate side of things here at Misfit Athletics. We like to take the time to talk to you guys about what we're doing on a day-to-day basis at our affiliates, how we're talking to the people on the team, Misfit affiliate programming. So it's not just going to be nuts and bolts of what's coming up in the program, but we're really going to dig into the affiliate side, something that we've got quite a bit of experience doing. Before we do that, big announcement, sharpentheaxeco.com spring cleaning sale. Everything in the site up to 80% off April 10th through the 12th. That includes the new gear that we are dropping that will also be on sale right away. As you've probably noticed, we've gone all the way back to our roots and we're not dropping all that much stuff when it comes to quantity. You're going to listen to us talk about our expertise today, and it's not going to be about t-shirts and hoodies. We want to give you guys some dope shit, but we don't want to hold on to a bunch of inventory. So
Hunter's a fucking adjusting. Hoodie expert.
Hunter is a hoodie expert. Needs to be quadruple weight thickness and heathered.
Heather
Those
gray.
Are the two things that Hunter needs in all of these.
It's not Heather.
Sharpentheaxeco.com, spring cleaning, everything up to 80% off April 10th through the 12th. And if you are on the Misfit Athletics Discord, I think Ted will probably slide into there and get you some early access. So make sure you head to discord.gg/Misfit Athletics and keep your eyes out on April 10th, because we like our people to get first dibs before we release it to the public. All right, gentlemen, I know I can get you guys real fired up in conversations about this. Sherb is standing in front of a 600-foot mural of Pukey and the triangle there. What do we call that?
The theoretical hierarchy of development of an athlete.
Oh, that.
One more time with spaces between the words.
Not a sound.
Theoretical development.
Theoretical hierarchy of the development.
You can only say it on 8X.
They really thought about how it rolls off the tongue when they titled it. But
so I was preparing for this episode yesterday, and then I walked out into the gym and took a class that Sherb was coaching, and you get that like reinvigoration of the topic. It was a running day. It was one of the first days that we opened the overhead door here, even though we're about to get another snowstorm. Open the overhead door, a little bit of buzz in the gym, and Sherb opens class by basically looking up at the TV and saying, "Hey, look what that doesn't say. Pick your favorite machine." And there's like a little bit of a pause, and he goes, "It says 400 meter run. You know what it doesn't say? Pick your favorite machine. If you can walk a 400, then you can go out." So like really, he dug in and set the tone.
Hey, Siri, remind me to give Sherb a raise.
So, I think with social media, with being an online company, I didn't see what happened there.
I didn't see when though.
So, again, with the social media side of things, with Misfit Athletics being an online brand, one of the things that doesn't come across as often is we have two affiliates. We sell affiliate programming. The most experience that we have in this game is changing lives at the local level, and then putting that programming out to gyms and communicating with them through Discord to do the same thing. We have 26 years of combined affiliate ownership. The three of us have 44 years of combined coaching, which is a pretty crazy thing to say. Just did a little quick arithmetic before this.
Can you add 1 day to that? Because I coached 1 day at the gym.
Yes, we have 44 years plus 1 day. And
that's what tipped us over the edge.
Yep.
Another thing to think about is we don't know. When you're talking about Misfit Athletics and you're talking about Hatchet and MFT and age group, talking about hundreds of athletes worldwide, which is amazing. when you're talking about Team Misfit in their gyms and their coaches, you're talking about thousands of people. And while there's, I think there's a really deep belief here that the sport itself is such an incredible vehicle for getting people excited about everything. I think you're going to hear a level of passion on this podcast and maybe some, honestly, some different tones, when it comes to talking about things, because there's just such a wide array of things that we can accomplish again at the local level. And not to continue to toot our horn, I feel more comfortable doing it, because these guys are the affiliate coaches here. So it's a little bit easier for me to do that, when I'm less connected and less involved. But top 1%, in the world of qualifying athletes for quarterfinals out of our affiliate. And I actually don't say that at all because we're trying to do that. I say it for the opposite reason. There's about 10 people out of the 50 between the two gyms that wanted to qualify for quarterfinals. So you got about 40 people who just show up and really kind of, you know, buy into the methodology and what we're trying to do. And oops, they're a quarterfinals level athlete. So it's always really cool to see that come through because, again, such a huge, like bookend left to right of what someone might be trying to accomplish when they come in here. So what is the start date of this? I should have written that.
April 29th.
Okay. April 29th is the beginning of not only a brand new Misfit Athletics affiliate training phase, it's kind of the beginning of our year. And I think that's a kind of a cool line in the sand to draw. There's a lot of hubbub around, all of the online competition that happens within an affiliate, you know, end of winter into spring, and to have that date where you draw the line and sort of get back to basics and remind people of what we're here to do before you have to go all the way back around the calendar and deal with it again, is something that I think is really cool. And one of our core values here at, you know, sort of all of our companies is this idea of staying sharp. And at the affiliate level, there's kind of a cool little acronym that has a joke built into it, which is be a layer. A layer is someone who paints the 600-foot tall pukey behind them in their gym. A layer, lengthened out, is Larry. And it's just someone who really, like, gives a shit about CrossFit and the methodology and sort of the original intention of it and is able to do that. The acronym stands for learn, apply, and refine. At the affiliate level, there's a level of confidence and performance and bravado that has to be brought to the table when you are teaching a class, when you've got all these people in front of you. And as you build that, there is the potential to not stay as humble and not stay a student, right? I command a room very well. I'm very good with people. You know, we've got people improving here. I'm done. I'm just going to keep hitting rewind on the tape recorder and hitting play again and regurgitate and start over. And to bring humility to that equation, to remain confident, to know that you are moving the needle, but that you could potentially do better, do more, is incredibly important at the affiliate level. So learn, apply, and refine, I think is a good segue into, I'll let you guys jump in, of having our, you know, 44 years of experience here doing all of this stuff and still wanting to listen to feedback from the Team Misfit gyms, to listen feedback from our coaches here, from our members, and refine what we're doing and take another crack at creating the absolute best full season that we can.
I don't know if you want to jump in, Hunter, but my mind instantly goes to just the process that we've spent over the last probably 6 to 12 months asking ourselves, what is a really good affiliate class? You know, starting with the, hey, you can't just have people come in and do 7x1 shoulder press if that means we're done the class in like 30 minutes. And then what the fuck do we do the rest of the hour? And then I think we swung too far in the direction of like what they call the black box programming of a lift and a Metcon every single day. And then, you know, you just see how people go through a class like that. And there are athletes who gravitate well towards lifting weights and athletes who gravitate more towards the conditioning. And neither athlete is really improving upon the things they need most. If you like lifting and you don't like conditioning and you have both things in class, where do you think that energy goes? It goes into the thing you like and not so much in the thing you don't like. Now, that doesn't mean you can't occasionally have both things in the same class, but I think the thing that we've really made a point of is trying to double down on like what the experience is that the member has when they come to the gym. And that should be CrossFit, which is coming in and doing something at a high intensity that's constantly varied and applies to their real life. So I think the last 12 months, we've really made a push towards getting people to understand what like classic CrossFit is. And I think people have come around to the idea that they don't need 3 to 4 training pieces in a day. They need to come in, try really hard today, recover, come back tomorrow, try again, and then maybe it's a rest day after that, or maybe it's a third day in a row before a rest day. But the idea here is like getting people to understand what intensity actually means and being able to deliver that in a way that athletes can come in, understand the point of that, and not feel like they're missing out. So they really truly do lean into like what the day is, I don't know, what the day is in front of them, doing it really well, and then coming back and doing it again.
Every year that we kind of rebuild, I usually kind of start the process by about like towards the end of the year, like even before the open starts, kind of like December timeframe, I'm starting to think about like what has gone well so far this year. What are themes that I've noticed in either taking class, observing class, coaching class, whatever. And every once in a while I pick out a theme that's like, man, we're not doing this really, really well. And every year we rebuild the program and I think like, this is the best affiliate program that we've made so far. And I do actually think that every year that is the case. Every year it's not like and I remember 2 years ago, that was the best affiliate program. It's like, no, I think every year that we re-sync up on what it means to write a good workouts for affiliate level athletes and how to fit them into a 60-minute CrossFit class effectively is always kind of evolving as I like through that observation, that learn, apply, refine kind of mindset, even if I'm not, you know, wasn't actually calling it that at the time. And I think probably like the biggest thing that I've learned, applied, and we are trying to continue to refine here is the idea of simplicity. I used a 24.1 as an example of that for these guys when I was like, hey, one of the things that we really want to focus on this year with the affiliate program is making sure that things are like simple and effective. And again, 24.1 dumbbell snatches and burpees to me was like the epitome of that. I said it when we did the 24.1 podcast, how excellent of a workout that was. It's for the best athletes on the planet. And even like some of the best athletes at our affiliate who actually are, you know, in that top one percentile are able to do something so simple and so effective and just absolutely annihilate themselves and achieve, you know, certain adaptation that comes with that. And at the same time, somebody who is a raw beginner, someone doing step back, step up burpees and a 10-pound dumbbell snatch is going to get the equivalent workout, you know, obviously not necessarily the same power output, but for that person, that relative effort, when the workout is written properly to allow that sort of thing to happen, that's where the beauty is. That's how people get so fit. That's how we can kind of put these workouts together that enable a level of intensity kind of across the board, even if times, you know, you get someone who does 24.1 in 7.5 minutes versus somebody who takes the full 15 minutes to do the workout. Those people still feel equally as bad, you know, at the end of their workout relative to their fitness. And that to me is like the mark of like excellent programming. And that was really one of the things that we tried to kind of take on in this upcoming year of trying to balance, you know, keeping people engaged, keeping coaches engaged, not making it so boring, you know, as effective as 10 by 400 meter run is. You know, we do have an obligation to a certain extent to make sure athletes are like, yeah, I want to come into class to do this workout. And a lot of that is us communicating and educating athletes. But I think that there is a way to make sure that the programming checks as many of those boxes as possible, with the end goal of getting every single person who comes through the doors, whether you're top 50 quarterfinalist or brand new beginner trying to shed weight, we can do the same for both of those people with a well-written affiliate class.
We're going to get into this idea of biasing versus overcorrecting a little bit later in the podcast, but that's where my mind goes when you say that, Hunter. So you have, like, if we were to look at the program and listen to feedback and overcorrect in the opposite direction that he's talking about, every workout you would need to go to the supermarket, buy your favorite cereal, dig for the decoder ring, and be able to do like a fucking Mad Lib upside down to figure out what the workout is. Like, if you get too wrapped up in the members need to be entertained every time they read what the workout is, that's overcorrecting. But then some people get so stuck in their ways that they overcorrect in the opposite direction. And every single day is five rounds for time, row 500, 12 toes to bar, or the 4x10 or the 10x400 that you just talked about. So we have to find that middle ground when it comes to this stuff. We have to look at the entire picture. And that's something that you learn how to do with years of experience. Hunter was able to zoom all the way back out and look at 12 months and say that went really well, but zoom into this phase in the way that we did this bias, or zoom into this style of class, or we talked about the potential for this either being not enough work this day or too much work this day. And when you continue to narrow it down, you can find the spots where you can improve. And that's when you get to zoom way back out after another year and go, we've continued to raise the bar here. You sort of addressed some of it already, but I want to make it kind of explicit here. And Sherb, you can jump in. How do you write an affiliate program that works at a place like Misfit Gym Portland or Misfit Gym Wyndham? Because we've had multiple people lose 50 to 100 pounds. We've had multiple people go off of the kind of medication that insinuates a very early exit from the world. And we've had three people come to our gym as beginners, go to the CrossFit Games. How do we write an affiliate program? How do we, you know, cultivate a community? How do we make something like that happen when the sheet is the sheet? Like, of course they're scaling, but we don't scale up. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. We don't scale up. So something that we kind of talked about in this coming phase is that there are certain styles of workouts that are very difficult to make the exact same for the extremely fit and the, you know, brand new weekend warrior type person. And a lot of times we get wrapped up in the goal of like, hey, I want every athlete to finish this workout in 4 to 7 minutes. The problem with that is that a 4 to 7 minute workout implies a certain level of intensity, and at a certain like level of experience, or maybe a certain level of inexperience, a brand new or less experienced CrossFitter simply doesn't have the knowledge or the physical capacity per se to go hard enough to make a four to seven minute workout really challenging, unless it's written like very like the margin for error is very low in that style of workout. What we've found though is that athletes who struggle to, you know, be able to output that really short kind of time domain don't need that as much as they, hey, if this workout's meant to be 4 to 6 minutes for the majority of people, for the fittest, it might even be faster. The fittest are fine. The fittest are going to be able to set themselves on fire and it'll take them 15 minutes to put it out before they're functional again. And that's excellent. That's the level of intensity that we want from those people. From the less experienced people, if they end up working out for 10 minutes instead of 6 or 7 minutes, like, we didn't fail. That person needs the kind of metabolic conditioning. Going back to like the theoretical hierarchy of the development of athlete behind Sherb, like, metabolic conditioning is at the base, just above nutrition. Within the gym, you know, the base is metabolic conditioning, and trying and slowly getting those less fit, less experienced athletes up to a level that they can actually start to differentiate between, hey, my effort for this 5 minute workout is actually different than my effort for this 15 minute workout. For less experienced athletes, They simply don't have the capacity, the fitness, or the knowledge to be able to adjust and pull those levers, right? The fitter you are, the more kind of flexibility you have in things like pacing, knowing when to slow down and when to speed up. But for a lot of athletes, their current fitness level, it's just like, hey, I'm in zone five. However long this workout is, I'm in zone five for that amount of time. And that's perfectly fine too for that athlete to gradually improve their fitness. And then there are obviously days where we can stick athletes on an assault bike, something with no skill, basically no risk of injury. And I can tell that brand new athlete, like, hey, you may have never done this before. I want you to go 100%. Actually, it makes me think of a workout last week. We had a bike sprint workout, and Mark, one of our morning coaches, talked about how he kind of gathered. He mentioned to me he gathered his whole gym, his whole group up, and said, like, kind of, he was kind of a challenge in a challenging way. He was like, this workout calls for a certain level of effort that I don't think many of you know how to do. If you're not willing to do that, I have a cardio theater upstairs. And he pointed to like the machines upstairs where people don't go to typically do like long, slow, like aerobic stuff. And because he knows his athletes, he got those guys, they're fucking shadow boxing in the corner, you know, ready to rip somebody's head off. And with that, and just absolutely hammered their assault bike. So there's obviously a level of the coach understanding who they're talking to elicit that sort of thing. But, to the original question, you know, we have just become intimately aware of what is necessary to, from a programming perspective, to allow the fittest athletes in your gym to get a killer workout without it degrading, or, you know, base, or the maybe the less fit athletes to get a killer workout without ever degrading the fittest athletes, you know, their workout experience. Because you make the workout too easy, like no amount of hey, you should have just gone faster, can actually make that workout harder for a certain type of athlete. And we have those athletes here. Every once in a while, there's a workout where it's like, this person just simply could not have gone much harder. And that was just what their workout was. But it takes a much more nuanced approach to make sure that both ends of that spectrum have the workout that's right for them. And I think we continue to inch closer to like getting that right, you know, 95%+ of the time.
I think it's important to note, though, just playing devil's advocate here, as the coach with your athletes, you have to know what that person's like psychological and physiological tolerance is to exercise. Because if you hear what Hunter says and you're like, all right, fuck it, they'll work out for 20 minutes and we're supposed to work it out for five, that's not it either. It's understanding that, like, I think one of the main differences is that we look at the programming from a day-to-day perspective and ask ourselves, like, could someone come here and train with intensity multiple days in a row without fucking getting blasted to the moon? And do things make sense where, you know, if you're going long and slow with squatting one day, it's fast and short with hinging the next day. And there's the nuance to understand that, like, what the person that's in front of you is supposed to get, which is why we deliver the coaches' notes that we do. It's, hey, in today's skier, burpee box jump, sandbag lunge workout, if someone's skiing for more than a minute, they are doing too many calories in this workout. You need to calibrate that, you know, either before the workout or during your warm-up to figure out what is the appropriate dosage of calories. And I think one thing that separates our two gyms specifically is the intimate knowledge of looking at an athlete, watching them warm up, watching them get ready for a workout, knowing their past experience, and then saying, all right, Bill, this is your dose of calories for this workout. Kim, this is your dose for the calories for this workout. Matt, this is your calorie dose for this workout. And knowing what that will do to each person. And that is a craft that you have to hone in over time with reps and with lots of experience. And I think the coach's notes are a good kind of clue on the path of how to get there. But as the coach, you need to realize that, like, when you read the coach's notes and when you buy the programming and you get invested in it, you really take the time to understand what is being asked of you as the coach to then deliver to your members so they get the intended dose and so that you have the same results that, you know, we have at these two gyms here. It's because we're super obsessed with making sure that people get the workout they're supposed to get ahead of basically any other objective. RX isn't something that we strive for every single day for every single member. It's getting everyone the same, similar, if not the same, good workout that allows them to feel this intense stimulus. And then I'll see you tomorrow after we cool down and do it all over again. And I think that's what separates really good programming. It's not just the here it is, it's how to do it. And if you don't feel like you have a good wrap around it, it's a thorough explanation on how to execute said program.
Yeah, and this is something that we talk about on the individual level that also is so incredibly important on the affiliate level. We can only do so much for the affiliate. We can only meet you halfway and give you the programming and the coach's notes and the stimulus that we've intended there. But without the culture at your gym, something that we want to help you develop on this podcast and through content, if you don't have the coach who, like a Mark, has bought in, Mark is definitely a Larry. He's got a longer drive coming in on his commute and he's listening to World War II podcasts because it's sprint day and he wants everyone to burn the boats and they're not allowed to, you know what I mean? So like you guys brought up the nuts and bolts side of it and then just this entire other thing that makes up like basically everything that your gym becomes. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, if you've got a growth mindset, is we see a lot of gyms come to us and say, will you tell me how to convince my member that they should buy us running? And I want to help you develop the language to do that. But what I brought up at the beginning of the podcast about Sherb yesterday, what Hunter brought up about Mark with the sprint day, in terms of the enthusiasm and the buy-in, like you shouldn't need to be pulling teeth with your staff to do that. Like you need to, as a leader, develop that culture and then really like baby it. Like that is such an incredibly important thing for your staff to be passionate about what they do. Because if you don't bring that element to the equation, then we can give you all of the knowledge in the world. But like, what's the difference between Sherb delivering that speech and then like typing it into my phone and having, I don't know, a robot read it? Like you should run 400. Like it's not the same thing at all, right? So
no, you could have two gyms side by side, you know, everything else being equal. On the left, you've got Misfit Gym Portland or Misfit Gym Wyndham, where the members walk in and they see three rounds of a workout with 6 minutes of rest, and they already know, like, ah, fuck. Like, here we go. Like, I had members like that this morning. It was ski, burpee, box jump over, sandbag lunge. And Andy, one of our, he's not new now. He's a little over, just finished up his first year. But he's like, I hear him mumbling in the corner, like, 6 minutes of rest. Like, gee, fuck. Like, members know. And they know, they don't know because they read the level one manual. They know because the coaches know what's supposed to happen, and the coaches have communicated that to the athletes, and the coaches have encouraged the athletes to go to that place, and the athletes have gone to that place, and we've done it enough times where, like, it's all, like, everyone's reading off the same sheet of music when that style of workout comes up. And next door, the exact same gym, the exact same program, you have, you know, the coach who just looks up at the whiteboard, reads it, says, okay, go run 400 meters for the warm-up. Okay, warm up your lunge, warm up your ski. We're starting in 10 minutes. Like, same program delivered, like, one side really well, the other side horrendously, which unfortunately is like probably more common among CrossFit affiliates than less common. It's like, no, that workout's not going to work. Like, we have the best affiliate programming on the planet. Like, I'll compete with anybody on that standard. But if it's not delivered and executed in the correct way, like, no, it could be the most perfect program on the planet, scientific, you know, whatever the standard is, 10 out of 10. If it's not executed correctly, if it's not communicated correctly, it doesn't fucking matter. If I go out and do today's workout and each round takes me 4 minutes instead of 2 minutes, like, congratulations on your recovery workout. And like, I didn't do it correctly. My coach didn't communicate it to me correctly. I'm not extracting as much out of this workout as I can. So, you know, it kind of reminded me of like the Glassman, you know, the magic is in movement, the art is in the programming, the science is in the explanation, and the fun is the community. So it's like, all, it's like, hey, there's your gold standard programming. Like, know how to write the program, but you need to know how to explain it and communicate it as well.
And everybody listening to this podcast that has anything to do with an affiliate, owner, head coach, member, aspiring coach, has a place in developing this kind of culture, right? There are times when there's, you know, inner strife in an affiliate within the social community. And, you know, there are, I mean, honestly, in a lot of gyms, I find that there's one of the people that we're referencing. There's just that one person where you go take their class and you're like, holy shit, this is awesome. This is totally different than the rest of the coaching staff. And each person has a level of responsibility. But if you're listening to this and you own an affiliate, or, you know, you're in charge of the programming and, you know, put it out to the other coaches, and you don't, this doesn't sound like your gym, you have the longest lever to pull. Well, yeah, but you can. So again, that's fixed mindset versus growth mindset. Like, I want to improve and this doesn't sound like my gym. How do I get there? Is the right way to think about it. How do we change these things? Can I remind myself that I am passionate about this thing and not, you know, always be thinking about restocking the toilet paper and how many Fit Aids are in the fridge and all that sort of thing? Like, you can get beaten down by the nuts and bolts of this whole thing. But when you go to stand in front of the whiteboard at, you know, at the top of the hour, whenever your class starts, like, that's a pretty special moment that you need to remember that that's the case. So we're going to get into some of the programming stuff now. And I kind of went with the idea that there are two themes. Number one, teased earlier, the idea of biasing versus overcorrection. So if we've got 7 weeks, we use the deadlifts. That's one of our biases. If we've got 7 weeks to program the deadlift and get athletes better at it, we could probably program deadlift twice a week at an affiliate. And I wouldn't recommend doing that, and I'll explain why.
5 days a
week. But it's not just that. It's the idea that there's actually 4 days of deadlift where it's kind of standalone, where both the coach and the athlete can hone in on, like, I want to get you better at deadlift. And sometimes PRing your 500 meter row and then deadlifting is not the easiest way to get you better at a deadlift. So 4 out of 7 weeks, we're going to back it out and we're going to spend the time and we're going to have that fucking PVC pipe, and Sherb's going to have you touch your butt to the wall, standing touching away butts from it. Yesterday, someone was talking about their top butt, and I was like, I don't know what a top butt is.
Yeah. Top butt. You got weird. Your top butt, your mid butt, your taint, jungle bridge,
front butt.
So, those other 3 weeks, CrossFit, right? We put it back into the mix. We put it back into the witch's brew. We've got couplets and triplets and chippers and whatever it is, and it's in there, and it's an element of it. And we want to see if we were able to move the needle on, like, are you better at bracing? Do you get the leg drive? Do you understand that you have multiple levers at play and that you can just push your hips through versus doing the Dave Castro knees in front? I don't even know what that is, a hanging squat. So the ability to know that if we only ever have you deadlift and it's like kind of heavy and super high intensity, we're not going to be able to move the needle. We can bias this thing by saying we've got 6 days of programming over the course of 7 weeks, right? We have 42 days of programming in there, and 4 of them are standalone. We're going to work on your deadlift. That's how you bias a program without overcorrecting. People will be better at deadlift, not only in the one rep max land, but also in the volume land. And then most importantly, in the, you know, sort of the guise of model structural conditioning. The other theme here is one that will be very obvious when I say that we're locking in on deadlift, bench press, strict pull up, strict vertical pressing, and running. That is just kind of the essence of the basics of movement. And, you know, things that obviously go well together, that's incredibly important as well. But we've got some really good biasing in there, and we've got some really, like, hey, this is the first one. This is the first crack that we have at moving the needle for you in, quote unquote, this year. It's kind of our CrossFit new year that we're starting. So we're going to start with things that, like, really good return on investment, really functional movements, and then build from there.
I think this time of year, it's important to remind athletes what fitness actually means, And I think, and going back to the pyramid that's behind me here, like, we've talked a lot about metabolic conditioning. We talked a little bit now about strength work. But, you know, after we fix an athlete's nutrition, and then we get the metabolic conditioning up, it's next thing, it's like, can you move your own body weight through space? And the desire of an athlete to advance to manipulating external objects, aka weightlifting, often comes at a higher priority relative to moving your own body weight through space. And then that same athlete is fucking pissed when they come to class and it's handstand walking or handstand pushups or toes the bar. And it's like, well, I understand the frustration of not having these skills, but you want skills you don't have a foundation for yet. You are trying to advance to something you haven't figured out already yourself. And if you are frustrated by the fact that you don't have pushups, pull-ups, dips, things of that nature, first place you talk back to is, we shot a video about this, is the diet. Like, are you eating correctly? Are you getting enough of the quality nutrients you need in your body? And for a lot of athletes, that's really the reason. There's no other reason. It's not that you don't do enough pull-ups in class, or you haven't done enough handstand push-ups or dips. It's that you don't pay attention to how you eat in the, you know, other, fuck, it's 168 hours in a week. The other 164 hours you're not with us each week. You don't pay attention to that stuff. And then second of all, like, when those things come up in class, are you focusing as much on how to do a pull-up correctly as you do a snatch? And a lot of people's just like, I'll grab a band, I'll hang from it, I'll bounce a bit, I'll do some, you know, some reps. But then on the snatch day, they really lean into like the technique of it. And it's like, you should give the pull-up the same respect that you give the snatch. Because if you want to have all these higher level skills, you have to hone those in first before you worry about the more complex one. And I think that's just the intermediate's curse. They want to get ahead of that novice level already without creating that foundation the novice needs to have, where they're obsessed about learning everything and refining everything really well first before they worry about the higher level skills.
Man, running don't lie either. That's where my mind went when you were talking about that conversation. Like, think about that pyramid. Like, if you skip ahead on that pyramid and we're, you know, sort of in, I mean, basically it's the gymnastics version of monostructural conditioning in a big way, because a lot of times, again, it's the winter here for what seems like 12 and a half months out of the year, and you're sitting on rowers and, you know, you're not moving your body through space even if you're, you know, on the ski erg in the same way. And then those doors open and we go for a jog and it's like, frick. Did I pay attention to my nutrition? And it just has this way of like shining a light on your actual GPP. Like, there's just something really about like your running ability in relation to the rest of your skills that can re-remind you that like basics are so incredibly important.
Yeah, I think
everyone got a chance yesterday to remind themselves of that, Drew, with class. Sorry, Hunter, to interrupt you, but like, no, everybody, everybody yesterday quickly realized after about 2 400s that, oh fuck,
except for Kyle and Trish, Jesus,
yeah,
well, that was fucked.
That's fast. They ran hard. But anyways, sorry, jump in. Go ahead, Hunter.
Did you finish your thought?
Yeah. No, that's all I wanted to say is that I think yesterday's workout was a good slap in the face for like, oh yeah, you know, it's as good, you know, it's great to keep your engine all the way up, you know, throughout the year, but like, all right, it's a different story when you're on your own 2 feet.
Yeah, I think this was the running. So yeah, as Drew mentioned, running is a big part of the kind of summertime understanding, like assuming everybody's like us and that winter is winter and summer is summer in the northern hemisphere. But this is the time of year where we focus a little bit more on running. And to kind of touch on the overcorrecting versus biasing thing, if we listen to every single negative interaction that we had from either affiliate athletes or coaches of other affiliates who subscribe to the program, we would, if we just listened to them, there would be zero running, because the number of messages that I got about like, hey, how do we, hey, like, people don't show up to my running day, like it's 10 by 400 meter run or whatever, 8 by 400, whatever, it's a pure running day, hey, nobody shows up, like, what's the machine equivalent to this distance, or what's the, like, can we make this a partner workout?
And jump in the washing machine.
And it's like, there are a couple of problems at play. One, like, so I'm gonna look at, like, I'll look at myself first and say, like, okay, did we write a running program that on paper is wickedly effective, but doesn't like elicit the engagement out of either athletes or coaches that we want, and therefore isn't going to be super effective because people aren't going to want to do it. It's like, okay, so can we do better there? Yeah, we probably can. And we made some a little tweaks this year to similar to the deadlift, as opposed to just purely deadlifting once a week, you know, in class. We're going to see some days that are going to just be straight up monostructural running, and that's absolutely necessary. And you need, as a coach, need to be able to tell your athletes why that's important. But we've also got days that are biased towards running, but are still, you know, your traditional CrossFit style workouts, which I think is important. One, for kind of like we said, that athlete engagement, but also kind of keeping in mind that we are in the business of GPP, like general physical preparedness. And if we go too far, if we went go too far in one direction of just, hey, one day per week, we're going to only deadlift, and then another day in that same week, we're going to only run. Now we're starting to skew towards more of a, like, I guess, a traditional strength and conditioning program that you might see at a, you know, a high school or college or something like that. And that's not what we want either, because that's not GPP. So for us, the trick is like, well, what's the appropriate balance of, you know, effectiveness, engagement from athletes and coaches, and doing that without swinging so far in the opposite direction? Because ultimately, like if someone sends me an email that says like members don't show up to me on running day, like I'll empathize in my email reply, but in my head I'm saying that's because you're doing a poor job of communicating to your athletes why it's important, or you allow your athletes to just say, I don't like running, so I'm going to do X, Y, or Z instead. And that's just, you capitulate to athletes when in fact you need to have a conversation that says like, here are the benefits, here's why you're doing it. Like, if you're injured, let's make a modification. But if you're hurt, pound the pavement.
The functionality component is what I think is crazy there too. It's like the easiest and most relatable thing to anybody who's putting up against something that's in CrossFit is that, hey, why are we doing this? It's like, there is a functional component to your real life. It's the coach's job to be able to relate what that thing is to the athlete. But like, one of my favorite things here is I had an athlete come in about 8 months ago, and we had squat snatches on the board, and his old gym didn't do those. So he's like, I don't do that movement. I'm like, fucking here you do. He's like, I don't do that movement. It hurts my shoulders. I go, does it hurt your shoulders or is it uncomfortable? He goes, well, it doesn't hurt. I just don't like the way it feels. And I said, all right, let me ask you a question. When you're 80 years old, do you want to put your arms over your head? And he goes, what? I'm like, when you are 80 years old, do you want to be able to put your arms over your head? And he goes,
I'm like,
a fucking course you want to be able to put your arms over your head, Darren. Hey, I'm calling you out, Darren. He knows it. I've had this conversation too many times. And he's like, oh, I guess I see your point. And then like 6 months later, he goes, hey man, thanks a lot for having that conversation with me, because now my shoulders don't hurt when I put my arms over my head in all of these movements. And I'm like, I appreciate you stopping me to say that, because I was looking out for you. So if you want to relate this to running, if I ask you to run and you say you can't run, like, you walked in this place. Let's start with a fast walk. If fast walk goes good and you don't have an injury, let's try to walk, jog. Think about the amount of ability you are increasing by adding these things back in. We want to keep the list of things we're able to do as long as possible for as much of our life as possible. And if you're not concerned with that, you are heading faster and faster towards the nursing home instead of being able to experience your life, which is what I say CrossFit is for. When someone walks in as a beginner, I say, you do this not because you want to get really awesome at CrossFit. And if you do get awesome at CrossFit, that's super cool. But the idea here is that you can leave this place and go do cool shit. That's all I care about. You can leave here and do something cool. If you can leave here and do something cool and then come tell me about it, you're going to be excited about CrossFit and want to come back more often and more often, and you'll do more and more cool shit. That is what this place is about.
I think these interactions also provide an avenue for a coach to like dig a little bit and figure out what the actual, like, what's the actual issue. And like you said, Sherb, it's like, okay, I don't snatch because it hurts my shoulders. Just the simple question of like, you know, are you hurt or are you injured, kid? Like, if it's an injury, if it's like, hey, when I put my shoulder over my head, arm over my head, it makes it feel like my shoulder's going to fall off because I had a rotator cuff tear a decade ago. It's like, okay, well, let's figure something out. We can work around that. But if it's the difference between like, oh, it just hurts because it's a little uncomfortable, and it's uncomfortable because the last gym I went to, when I told my coach that, he capitulated and just let me front squat anytime. So I never actually like got coached or instructed.
You're in my world now, Grandma.
For running, it's the same thing for me. It's like, why don't you like running? It's like, well, it hurts. Why does it hurt? It's like, well, I know why it hurts. It's because you're 30 pounds heavier than you need to be. But it's like, hey, like that's the avenue for the coach to say like, hey, do you know why running is like uncomfortable on your ankles and knees? It's because you put what, like 5X force, whatever your body weight is. It's like 5X that every step you take or whatever. It's like you're putting hundreds of pounds of force through this joint because your nutrition is poor. So let's talk about this offline. This is also, this is not the tone of voice I'm using for these conversations, by the way. It might be
the tone of voice
I
used. Sorry.
But the point is like these sorts of interactions give you as a coach an avenue to say like, hey, it's actually not that you dislike running. It's that it's really uncomfortable for you because you're really overweight and heavy. So instead, let's like, hey, let's use the SHRB method, like let's walk, or maybe, hey, let's do the first three rounds of this 6-round workout as running. You can run or walk as slow as you need to, and then the last three rounds you can get on a bike, and then after class you're going to show me your food log or something like that. But there has to be like that connection point where we're not just capitulating to the desires of the athlete, because ultimately they are paying you for your expertise. They're not paying you to come in and do whatever they want in the gym. They're paying for you to guide them towards a fitter, healthier lifestyle. And like sometimes that means like, hey, you're going to be uncomfortable. Like, this is a CrossFit gym. You're going to be uncomfortable. Like, CrossFit's for anyone. It's not for everyone. And I think that's like, you know, we have the tools to make your life better, but like, it's that 50-50 agreement that we talk about too. And it goes the same way with the affiliate athlete.
I get the benefit of Planet Fitness being next door. So I say, you want to do whatever you want? Go over there. It's really next door. Like, I'm here to help you. I mean, I can help you, but you have to listen. You have to try. You have to do both of those things. You show up, you listen, you try. If you don't do those three things, this place won't work. If you want to do what the fuck you want, next door, you spend 1/15th the price. Go there and do whatever you want. But I'm here because I'm telling you what I think is best for you, whatever that thing is. And again, the fucking snatch thing was an easy example. But any movement in the gym, coach needs to be able to be armed with points of, or just essentially reasons why we do the things that we do. And you need to be able to communicate those. And if you don't know why, ask questions. Research for yourself. It goes back to the LAR thing from earlier. Like, you got to go learn so you can deliver a class that's more effective. The more you know, the more you can explain why you're doing what you're doing, the more buy-in you're going to get from athletes.
Yeah. And the other part of the be a LAR is the acronym does mean something, but being a Larry, there's an insinuation of a level of passion attached to what you're doing. If you bring those two things together, that's when you're going to have a pretty magical place. My mind goes to one programming note and one coaching note, sort of trying to draw a connection here. So whether your members know it or not, week one, probably a fairly rude awakening, akin to the one that our members had yesterday running those 6 400s. A reminder of what it's like to run. A reminder that running feels so easy and then it feels impossible. You just feel fresh. You feel springy. Sun's out. Good to go. Why did I run a 145 400 and a 22-minute workout? Who knows? We'll find out.
Send it, kid.
So then that's week one. Week two, you can acquiesce and say, you know what? We're gonna run. Like, we're just going to run. We're going to do a running workout and I'm going to put you through a really good warm-up. And I'm going to talk to you about your pacing based on your running test. We're just going to work on it. You and me, and yeah, there are other people here, but we're going to work on your running. I know last week didn't go so well. Week three, let's just see. Let's see what it's like thrown back into the mix. And then you get to go back and forth within that style to work with your athlete. From the coaching perspective, I have a really hard time wrapping my mind around people reaching out to us and asking for, like, they almost want to be able to blame someone else. Like, well, I mean, they say that this is a good idea and they're experts, so let's just listen to them. And that's just not going to cut it. Again, if you want to develop a culture. For me, if I'm sitting in this office and I don't know when I'm going to be able to go out there and work out, if I see something that has a little sex appeal to it, I can go out there. Like if I got like a 7 minute triplet, are you kidding me? I'm not gonna be sad during a 7 minute triplet. Like I get to keep changing movements. Maybe it's a chipper. It's amazing. I'll go out and do that. If I see running intervals or bike intervals or row intervals, I'm gonna want to wait until 3:30 p.m. to go out there and get motivated by a coach and feel the camaraderie of another member and get that push. Like it feels backwards to me of the like, I can't get people to come in on this day. Like they need you more on that day. They need the community more on that day. It's not about like, why am I paying a membership to just go jog outside? I could do that on my own. You can't do that on your own the way that we do it here. And like, you need to be able to show that. Like a true nasty running interval day is worthy of Sherb going half white, half blue, riding in on a horse and giving the William Wallace speech. Like,
fuck yeah.
Like you can, like the return on investment is insane. You're in a pile of yourself. You feel like you need to eat 8,000 calories when you go home. You sleep like a fucking baby. Like getting outside and running and having the community aspect. Like how many boxes do you check off on a day where you go in and communicate with other humans, like-minded human beings, and push yourself under the sunlight? Like I just... The idea that we can't convince people to do that just means like the perspective is being looked at from the wrong, like the wrong direction.
So you could do that on your own. You won't.
Dude,
could.
How much better is it to jog laps with your friends versus being in a Planet Fitness on a fucking treadmill? Like I don't know. Maybe it's just It's not.
This is definitely not a chirp to anybody who comes in and does like open gym, but there are a handful of days where I'm just doing like a MF2 session up in the upstairs, and I can see the floor, the gym, like during the middle of the day, and members come and go for like open gym throughout the day, and I can see, like, it's funny, you get to watch, like, because I'm up there for 45 to 60 minutes, so I can actually see somebody like their full open gym day. They come in, they warm up, they work out, they leave. I can actually see what happens, and I see to myself, I'm like, that is why you come to class. Because it's like, okay, like here's a pseudo half-ass warm-up because coach isn't telling me what to do. Okay, I see, read the workout that's up on the board. Okay, yep, it's three rounds of this and that, and I'm just gonna kind of cruise through that three rounds. I'll do my workout, maybe I finish up with 50 sit-ups or something like that, and I head out. And it's like, that's why you come to class, because that what I just witnessed was not the intent of the workout. And it's just because, you know, again, nothing against the athlete, that's why they pay to come take class, and maybe they just had to come into open gym that day. But the point is that like, that is the difference between having a coach who can actually explain what is supposed to happen in this workout, how it's supposed to be executed, scaled, all that nonsense, versus either, you know, an athlete who's just like, I just kind of do my own thing in open gym. Maybe I don't even go to a CrossFit gym. And also the same equivalent of the coach who just reads the workout off the whiteboard, makes sure nobody dies, and then just sends athletes on their way without any sort of like nuanced communication about, you know, those, the kind of coach's notes that we talk about. And it's just kind of a nod to like the community aspect that you said, Drew, where it's like you come in by yourself for open gym, and having been me personally an athlete who does that a decent number of times throughout the week just because of my schedule, like I never go as hard as I would as if I was in class. Even if I go take class and I'm not even feeling like I want to try that hard, there will inevitably be some instance during that class where someone threatens me a little bit as far as pace, or, you know, hey, are you really going to lose to so-and-so? Yeah. And it's like, no, I'm not. All right, fine. Let me try to turn up the gear a little bit. And then you get it, you get that push, you get the communal aspect, all that sort of stuff. But you never go as hard as you would, you know, in open gym versus a class. And in a lot of ways, there's a similarity between like, you'll never go as hard as you would in a class where the coach is not able to communicate the intent of the workout, versus, you know, Mark Kubek gathering his members up and says like, hey, if you don't want to go fucking hard, go piss off upstairs and bike slow, because this ain't
fuck
it.
Fuck out of here.
You know? But sometimes that's like, And again, like know your members, and maybe that works for some and doesn't work for others. It works great because Mark has an excellent rapport with his members, and his members know what he's trying to do. But that's the difference.
Very true.
Pet's gonna be pissed when he hears this.
I want to.
I can't rush fitness. I know he's
put these next three, the final three pieces of the bias together as a unit, as a trio, to potentially. It's nice to go nerd mode every once in a while when you're talking to other coaches. So we have bench press, strict pull-ups, and then what we're calling strict vertical pressing. So you're either going to be doing strict handstand push-ups, or you're going to be doing pressing with dumbbells or barbells. And thinking about it here, so like one way that you could look at it, the bench press overcorrecting could lead to mobility issues, strength imbalances. It's a very localized movement. It's got some functionality. But when we think about it from the perspective of I am going to bench press, I am going to press vertically, and then really important, I am going to get traction and connect that like belt all the way around my upper body with targeting my upper back. When an athlete can move through those different planes and get pressing in multiple directions and get that traction and build chest, shoulders, upper back simultaneously, there is a synchronicity to all of that, that each one moves the other needle. And when you do stuff like that together, we can progress through the season and really start to ask an athlete to think about things like kipping pull-ups and chest to bar pull-ups and bar muscle ups or deficit handstand push-ups or wall facing handstand push-ups. So there is a sort of linear progression macro view that we try to take when we're getting you to move the needle with your athletes for whatever their goals are. But I think it's really important to understand how you could develop upper body strength, something that's for a lot of athletes very challenging to do, with putting these three elements together.
Yeah, I think that the way that we did this year, I really like, because we have the blend of, you know, high rep bench press and strict pressing vertically. And, you know, we say it all the time, whether it's for athletes trying to qualify for the CrossFit Games or, you know, all the way on the other side of the spectrum. If you want to get better at pressing, if we want to develop upper body pushing strength, you just have to do it. To press, you have to press. So kind of the balance between doing larger rep sets to failure, again, whether that's with a barbell in a bench press form or body weight or even like dumbbell strict pressing, and then the strict pulling as well. Like nobody with a strong functional pressing foundation has no pulling foundation, right? Like the upper, you watch any video, any powerlifting video, any group of powerlifters emphasize the importance of like upper back strength and stability when you go for a one rep max bench press. And that's obviously an extreme example. We're not training our CrossFitters to be powerlifters, but the crossover remains the same, that we need to develop that that pulling and pushing strength as kind of a complementary duo in order to maintain kind of, you know, the health benefits of what we're trying to do. And again, like as Sherb mentioned, like going from that, like, hey, do you want to get a better deadlift? Like, tell you what, strict pull-ups aren't going to do. They're not going to make your deadlift worse. Like, we want some grip strength. We want some upper back strength and stability. Like, turns out we want that for a deadlift too. And then all of a sudden we have the capacity to do that. We want to get better overhead positioning. It's like, okay, we can either strict handstand push-up or strict press. And lo and behold, that pressing improves our bench press. It improves our overhead mobility, et cetera, et cetera. And all of these things kind of work, like you said, Drew, in kind of a circular complementary fashion.
You missed my rant yesterday, Hunter, at 5. I told everyone how stupid GHDs are, and I made them all do L-sits in my warm-up. I was just like, you know what's fucking stupid? GHD sit-ups. It's good that you can do them.
Yesterday, I can't believe I missed
it. It's good that you can do them, and I know they're fun, and they look really cool when you see them on the fucking CrossFit Games YouTube channel. You want a better core? You want to get strong? Come over here with me real quick. So we rotated through. I think Drew's class did 2 minutes, and I think my other class did 2.5 minutes.
Guess what? You're not
going
to move. Lift your legs. All right, yeah, see, that's still. Impossible. Great.
Oh, I moved. Well,
recently, I've just been seeing people come in. You know, it's getting warmer outside. People are thinking about putting their bathing suits on and going to the beach, and everyone's doing fucking stupid
dog,
shit.
I
like
do 7,000 GHDs. I'll be shredded.
It's like, no. You want to fucking
see the
shredded
photo
core?
Of Ricky Garrard bent 90 degrees in the wrong fucking direction with like 604 abs on that machine, and they assume that because you can see him the best there, that that's where he got them from.
Definitely. Yep. Yeah. No, it was spot reduction. We were doing that's jellies it, yeah. on the tummy and sitting in the sun doing fucking spot reduction. It's like, Jesus Christ. No. Come over here. See those stupid rusty things in the corner? Hang on to them and keep your legs up. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Rusty things are the parallettes, right? That's what we're talking
potentially
about.
The most important part of this podcast is that we've just talked about 3 days a week of a program that is 6 days a week. And we talked about this idea of biasing versus overcorrecting. It's actually not 3 days a week in terms of the totality, because if we are mixing in other elements on those days, then it's less than 50% of the program that you're going to be going in and tackling these certain things. So what else is there? There's couplets and triplets and monostructural conditioning
constantly
and weightlifting and gymnastics and all of that good stuff. So we like this test retest model. We like to put the hypothesis to work. We like the guess and check of how do we help you improve your pacing or your bracing or whatever it is. But it should not take over your program, right? It can do a really good job of like your members being excited of walking into day one of the summer one phase and knowing that they're going to sort of have the, you know, measurable, observable things over the course of it. But we're going to trick them by having most of what we're delivering be constantly varied functional movements performed high intensity. Like that is so incredibly important. And while like it should be insinuated that it's part of our program every single time, you're probably not going to listen to one of these types of podcasts and not have us like stop that conversation about the 60-minute classes and say that thing, because that's still the guiding principle. And we know how to use it really well. You know, we've got systems in place for the way that we program so that, you know, we're going short, we're going medium, we're going long, we're, you know, in the running test going pretty long, and then in some of our monostructural days going incredibly short, and then what movements are involved when you do go short, medium, and long, and all that sort of stuff that you don't need to worry about too much if you are purchasing this program. But it's just so important to understand that we can get into the nuts and bolts of these things that we want your members to really notice that they're improving on, but like there's a fucking orchestra playing in the background that's really doing a lot of that like heavy lifting and moving the needle for them. And they're, I mean, they can notice it if they want, you know, they're also Larry's, but the variance and, you know, sort of the magic that stands behind the programming is the GPP.
It's like the variance like tricks them to coming in. You know what I mean? You have people who have every CrossFit gym, there's a sect of members who like this movement, who like that movement, who like this movement, who like that movement. And it's sort of what I think about when I look at like last week's touch and go sandbag clean bike sprint day. It's like, all right, everybody, we'll at the whiteboard. Who came in today because they're sandbag cleans and fucking eight hands should be like, ha, tricked you, bitch. This is a bike sprint day. Gotcha. Like, and I do think of like the fucking variance being a little bit like that. Like there are things that are going to gravitate. You're going to gravitate towards because you do them well or you like them. And that might
spoonful of sugar
come in one extra day this week because your favorite movement just showed up. Happened to be we're working on that fucking terrible time domain you hate. But guess what? There's wall balls and you love wall balls. Congratulations. You came in for the day and we get more adherence. Like that's essentially how I look at variance for a lot of people is it brings them in, gives them variety so they don't get bored. But we're tricking you. Gotcha.
That's funny. That happened to me last night. So it was the 6 rounds, 400 meter run, 20 kettlebell snatch workout. And Amanda Salovich at the end of it, she was like, wow, that was a sneaky way of getting me to do by 6x400 meter run. I was like, that is correct.
Gotcha.
That is correct. That's exactly. You came in, you got to break up the monotony of jogging outside and smash the back of your forearm for a couple of seconds, but this is a run workout.
So to explain the rest of the program, the extras that you get when you sign up for our programming, teammisfit.com, get signed up before April 29th so that you can see all of these amazing coaches' notes and all that good stuff that, that we offer with the program. So we circle back to say that 25% of our recurring members here at the gym qualified for semifinals. So this is potentially an insinuation. What'd I say?
Semifinals.
No, that good. CrossFit Games. Too much.
All CrossFit Games athletes.
All of them won the CrossFit Games. Yeah. They're just standing on top of each other on the podium. So 25% of our members here qualified for quarterfinals, individual quarterfinals. And you could insinuate that then we're saying that like the program that we've covered thus far covers 75% of our gym members, and then we have some extras for the 25%. In reality, because of the culture that we have here, because of the coaching staff we have here, probably more like 90-10. But 90% of the gym only cares about what we just addressed. They want to come in, they want to get the best hour of their day, they want to go home, and then they like the fact that if they show up and meet us halfway and buy into what we're doing, that they feel pretty good about themselves when the open and quarterfinals roll around. What we do have for the people in your gym that are either bridging from being an affiliate member to a competitor or just are kind of just love the sport and want to do some extra stuff, you get a competitor extra. And that's programmed as essentially the second or third piece each day that you'll see within the programming. There are a few ways to tackle this as an affiliate. We have a 90-minute class once a day here. At Misfit Gym Portland. Funny thing about it, most people stop after 60 minutes. It's just a convenient time of day. So that sort of goes back to that 90-10 rule that we have there. And then probably what's much more doable for affiliates is whatever, you know, workout management software that you use, you have that competitor extra in there for your members to view. And they know that if they come to class, that they could potentially do it before, they could potentially do it after, they could do it in an open gym period of time. And it's important to note that this is part of the program, not just as a selling point, but also that when athletes typically try to do this on their own, when they try to be part of the community and add, insert random competitors program, it does not go well. There's no cohesion with it. It's not like this thing goes with that thing. So we have this 6 days of the week, best 1 hour of programming and class structure that we can come up with. And then that extra fits within that. And not only does it fit within the day, it fits within the week, it fits within the month, it fits within the phase, it fits within the entire programming year. And you know, we obviously get the opportunity to use our expertise as people who've been coaching games athletes for a long time. But that is an extra that you get with the Team Misfit affiliate programming. You also get an engine program. A lot of gyms have, they call it different things, a sweat class, a cardio class, whatever it is, where it is a more monostructural conditioning type of thing. And we bring so many of the principles that we talked about today into that engine program, where you're going to see, choose a particular bias, test, retest model, and then we just go attack different energy systems and different machines and different pathways to get people better at that. So again, the bulk of what we talked about is important to all of your membership. And then for the people that want to bias monostructural conditioning, they might have a race coming up. They want to get better on the bike. They want to get better at running or the competitor extra. But again, that's that smaller subset that is looking for something a little bit extra. And it's very challenging for your average gym goer to know what they're supposed to do. People stack this program on top of that program on top of that one, and they work really hard and they are dedicated, and then they make it back around to open and quarterfinals and things don't go the way that they wanted it to. So that's in there so that you can help them navigate that whole landscape, because it becomes complicated when you start putting, you know, square peg round hole.
I also think for that sector of the population who wants a little bit more, there's still just this desire that volume is the answer. And like doing, you know, a few days of an extra piece is realistically all that is reasonable to ask of someone looking to get better with their lifestyle. Like, you think about the lifestyle of your favorite CrossFit athlete, you probably don't live it. Almost certainly don't live it. You don't sleep 9 or 10 hours. You don't track every bit of macros that you know, put into your body. You're not obsessed with you know, what your Whoop score is or your Garmin recovery score. Like, you just don't live that lifestyle. So to try to do more than that's in the programming than the competitor extra, like, it's just a diminished investment on the return you're going to get from said time spent in the gym. And, you know, one of the things that we hopefully communicate really clearly in this podcast is, like, doing extra for the sake of doing extra is a pretty big waste of time, and you probably shouldn't do it, but hey, it's your life.
I have coached two athletes that have podiumed at semifinals and gone on to the CrossFit Games in the individual division that have executed on lift, Metcon skill for their semifinals prep. The idea that you might need more than that at the affiliate level and at the open and quarterfinals level, potentially a little silly, right? Like, they just understand that those are the three things that I get to execute on, and I'm going to do them to the absolute best of my ability. And someone else out there is doing two lifts and two Metcons and one skill piece and not getting the same level of adaptation because it's too much, or they don't have enough time to do it, or they don't, you know, understand that, like, I need return on my investment. It's not just how many boxes can I check off. So I regularly have remote coaching calls with new clients where I talk them off the ledge when they have a full-time job and lofty aspirations, like, lift, Metcon, skill. You give me everything you got within those three things and we can find a place for some zone two work throughout the week. You're going to do better than the volume monster who's just gets FOMO from other people's programs.
If you've got athletes who are in that boat asking, like, hey, what else can I do to get better? What else can I do to get better? The first thing that you have to, like, go to has absolutely nothing to do with the gym. Like, the odds that that person asking that question is sleeping sufficiently, eating correctly, hydrating
supplements
correctly,
guy,
warming up, cooling down correctly, and doing all of, and, you know, actual, and, you know, has full range of motion of their joints or whatever, the odds that all of those things are met and then that athlete's asking what else can I do is almost zero. So, like, as a coach, you have that conversation, you have an athlete. I even had a phone call with one of our longtime affiliate subscribers who was like, hey, I've got a handful of athletes who don't want to do class, or they do want to do class, but they want to do extra work. And I'm like, okay, like, well, what level are these people? And they're just like, well, like, you know, they do most of the open workouts, like RX, they can do most of the move. It's like, okay, so these, like, we, this is
most of,
like,
the open workouts RX.
Yeah. So it's like I'm not going to make this a blanket statement, but, like, if you want to do extra work, I would want you to be able to, as an athlete, be able to do all of the, like, all of the movements that we programmed, you should be able to do, right? If it's like, yeah, I do chest to bar pull-ups whenever bar muscle ups show up. It's like, okay, so we don't have bar muscle ups. Let's figure out why. Is it a technique thing? Is it a skill thing? Or more likely, is it something like a nutrition thing where it's like, you're carrying around too much excess body fat compared to your lean body mass. It's like, okay, let's start there before we start adding GHD sit-ups and pistols. And then, like, and working your way through, like, again, the odds that I have an athlete who came up to me and was like, hey, I was less than 90% of my 3 rep max deadlift when we did threes the other day. And I was like, and he's like, what's going on? And I was like, because I had a previous conversation with him, he was like, he's got a new kid. He's a firefighter. So he has an overnight shift, like 48 hours on, 5 days off. And it's like, I know exactly why you didn't deadlift very well. It has nothing to do with the fact that you didn't get weaker. Your nervous system shot. You didn't sleep well. And, like, if you're thinking about doing more work, you're just digging that hole deeper. I think we just, like, as a coaching community, like, could do a way better job of going back to kind of, like, that foundational, like, level one document. What is fitness? What is nutrition? Even if you stick people on the fucking zone diet, which I'm not suggesting, but, like, the number of resources out there are available to athletes. And I'll tell you, I've got like 5 or 6 athletes at the gym right now who are doing 40, 30, 30.
Which is the zone diet.
Yeah, I'm not. I just didn't mean, like, hey, eat 4 blocks every 18
67x fat.
Yeah, like, but it's like, hey, I'm just giving you these macros. Start by tracking your food. Start by trying to eat this. Let's check in like once a week, every week, and see where the needle moves. And lo and behold, progress is being made across the board because we're sticking to kind of like, hey, look at the pyramid. Look at mechanics, consistency, intensity, all of these things that communicate to us how we should be, you know, providing the programming and the methodology is like, it's all available to you, whether or not you understand and communicate it as a coach and communicate it to your athletes. That's the question.
I was trying to think of like a goal for coaches when it comes to the whole running conversation. And I had this vision of something that I've seen many times at our gym in the summer that gives me great joy. And it is the like trio or like group of four people late in a workout running down the final straightaway together that are all shapes and sizes. That is the ultimate fucking goal at a CrossFit gym. You've got your like runner person, your bodyweight ninja, and then there's a fucking Clydesdale just clocking next to them, shaking the whole facility with their stomping of the feet. You know, and you get this athlete that's, you know, 150, 160 pounds or 210, 220, something like that. And like, you can see this like orchestra of GPP taking place, like of them coming down the straightaway. That to me is like, could be an end goal of like, when you watch out for that, like when you develop that kind of level of fitness in a lot of your athletes, you start to blur the lines of, oh, this person's good at this and this person's good at that. And, you know, I don't want to say the excuses of body type, but just like the stereotypes that we have, especially within the community space. Like oftentimes you're going to see a really big athlete just like crushing, you know, muscle ups and handstand pushups and stuff like that. And that's when you know that you're not just developing these specialists in each area.
You got Nick Witt coming down the fucking highway,
dude.
6 foot five, 250, and then he's gonna do some strict handstand pushups and muscle ups next year, right after he finishes whooping your ass in a 400.
I want to finish this podcast with a bit of an ask. I feel like if you've made it this far into the episode, you are interested in subscribing to our affiliate programming, or already subscribe. We have something pretty special at Misfit Gym Portland, Misfit Gym Wyndham, and it is a goal of ours to distill some of that information and get it out to all of you. So as we navigate how to do that, at what frequency to do that, feedback is incredibly important. So like, you guys communicate with us on Discord. You need to be a subscriber to the program to get into the affiliate Discord. The Misfit Athletics Discord is free and open to everybody. There are a lot of different ways to contact us. DMs on Discord, on Instagram. My email address is coach@misfitathletics.com. I want to hear from people in the affiliate communities what type of content you would like to see from us. Because again, there is a missing piece if you only take the programming and just read it as words and then again go through the motions in your class and it's up on the screen. What I want to be able to provide, you know, I've traveled the world and taken affiliate classes, and the two gentlemen who, I don't know if it's on same on your screen, but the guys who are below me are two of the best five coaches I've ever been around in my life in an affiliate class environment. So how do we communicate how it's possible to achieve the culture and the passion and the coaching to you guys? So I would love to hear some feedback on what you guys think of what we do so far for it, and what you would like to see us do. And if it's just, hey, I like this stuff, but I got to wait 7 weeks for it to happen, then let us know and we'll see what we can do to make a change there. But again, the ability to influence the largest group of people, you know, quote unquote, change the world is probably through this avenue, and something that's definitely a passion of all of us. So let me know what you guys think, what you want to see. And we'll get to work on it. Those are my final thoughts. Now you guys can go if you're not ready, Sherb.
Go ahead, Hunter.
Yeah, I think that I'm not very good at coming up with super original ideas, but I feel like I'm pretty good at explaining ones that I really understand well. And I think the CrossFit methodology is one that I understand really well. There is not, I thought about, I was like, why, what makes CrossFit specifically a thing that you can do? Like, I guess like what sets it apart from other styles of training and exercise? And aside from like, you know, the movement selections that we do, you know, we blend weightlifting and running and powerlifting and kettlebells and gymnastics all into this kind of hodgepodge of things. And it's like, that's part of it. That's kind of the super, super high resolution view. But if you zoom out and go a little bit lower resolution, bigger picture, I would love for anybody to find me a different program, a different style of programming, or a different methodology that can be done from basically until you die. So what is the pro, like, can I do the Smolov back squat program from now until when I die? Probably, because I'll die in like 5 months. Okay.
That's not an effective
long-term program.
Am I getting drug tested in this scenario?
Maybe. I don't know. I would still argue that your lifespan's probably shorter than it would otherwise be. Okay, so
hearts aren't good.
I can't,
sorry.
There's no, where is there a weightlifting program that you can just do on repeat until you die? Where is there a running program? Or is there, you know, is there a run program that is circular, kind of in such a way that can be repeated without too much redundancy, while also still getting athletes as fit as possible? Is there any other program out there? Can I go pay a CSCS, certified strength and conditioning specialist, quote unquote, to write me a program that I can do for the rest of my life? Like, absolutely not. Like, at best, I'm going to get a 6 to 16 week program from that person. And then 6 to 16 weeks later, it's going to be like, all right, well, what are we doing now? It's like, it doesn't exist.
Again,
the program that exists is CrossFit. It is that GPP style of programming where we can attack different energy systems, different metabolic pathways, different movements, different time domains, skills, et cetera, in such a way that we can move the needle a small amount today, come back, move the needle a small amount tomorrow, and continue to move that needle in such a way that we're never actually going to reach kind of the end of the of that, you know, metronome, that needle moving in one direction or the other, but we can always still see progress along the way. And then every once in a while, we throw in the benchmark workout. We throw in the test retest. We do something like the open where we can actually test our fitness and see where it was now compared to 1, 3, 5, 10 years ago. You know, sure. Like,
gosh, you're doing Windler,
all three of us have been doing CrossFit for over a decade. Like, I can compare that data and I'm still getting fitter in certain areas and others are dropping off and I can readdress those. But like, that program doesn't exist. It does exist. It's CrossFit, but there's no other match for that program. And I think that we as coaches have kind of the going back to my original statement of like, I'm not very great at coming up with original shit. So I'll just steal what Glassman said. Like, you're in unique possession of the solution to the world's most vexing problem, right? Like, imagine if every single person on the planet knew the efficacy of CrossFit and did it. Like, holy fuck. Like, everybody'd be rich and Earth would be the best place in the fucking solar system to be. But the point is that we have that program. How well it's communicated to our members is really the difference between like us holding that key locked up in our, you know, in my hoodie pocket and actually being able to distribute that to other people so that they understand like the efficacy and why we do certain things the way that we do, so that we can move that needle today, tomorrow, a year, a decade, you know, 3 decades down the road.
I mean, there's how much magic is in the fact that it's not boring? Like,
well, I mean, it's like, that was the cool, honestly, like before I started CrossFit, when I was doing like P90X and Insanity, it was like, oh, this is sick. Like, this is, it's a little bit different every day, but eventually those DVDs run out and it's like, well, I've done this thing, done this routine like five times before. I've done that one. It's like,
it reminds me of my
repeated a workout,
my early meathead days. You finally find that protein bar that's like delicious and you're like, oh man, I'm good to go. You buy the box. And then like the sixth out of like 48 that you eat, you're like, if I fucking see this label again, I'm going to dry heat.
Puke.
Yeah.
You just like, as human beings, we get excited by new things. And then you realize that you're alone in Planet Fitness again, however long you persevered this time. And then, you know, I don't have time to work out anymore. And then you kind of start this thing over. And you just get the opportunity to be like re-surprised and buy into it when you walk into the gym every time.
My final thought is a similar challenge. You know, I guess we're throwing out challenges here with our final thoughts. But if you are an affiliate and you struggle with getting people excited about what you're delivering to them, meaning it's 6x400 meter run, take out your phone, set it up, and video yourself delivering that brief to your class. Should be, you know, 2 to 4 minutes. And ask yourself, are you fired up after watching that video? If you're fucking monotone, you're reading off the whiteboard, everyone's fucking looking around in different directions, it's you. Spend some time in thinking about how you want to deliver that class. Because you're right, if you don't believe in the product or if you don't sound excited to be there, they're not going to be excited to be there. And that's half of what creates the community environment, is that people want to be there because it's fun and it's engaging. If you aren't fun and engaging, you need to fire yourself or get better at it. Hopefully you have to fire yourself. Get better at it. Find ways to deliver that product so people are excited about it. Because again, you need to create the vibe at your gym, at the whiteboard, you know, in the first 3 minutes of your class, so everyone's excited and ready to go into battle. And, you know, we're talking about Mark a bunch in this podcast, but that's what he does. He walks up to the whiteboard, he delivers a 2 to 4 minute speech, and everyone's ready to fucking jump into fire because of it. And I think that's a really good way to refine your ability, is to set up a camera and watch yourself. It sounds uncomfortable. Guess what? It is. You won't like the sound of your voice, but watch it anyways.
You've been doing that, right, Sherb? And you've found it valuable. So he's not telling you to do that, but without having done it.
And I mean, you haven't been doing it for super long, Sherb, and you seem significantly more comfortable anytime I see like an instance of it. Like, you get over that thing that like you've gone years without doing something like this because you don't want the like pain of the first time of feeling awkward, and you got over it very quickly. So it feels silly to let something like that just that feeling take over.
Yeah, I mean, that goes to any part of your class too. So if you struggle with whiteboard briefs, but you fucking crush teaching, start with whiteboard briefs. Your whiteboard briefs are awesome, but you're not happy with how you teach double unders, set up a camera and watch yourself teach double unders. And then ask yourself, like, was that clear? Was that concise? Did people refine their movement? Did I see progress? Like, these are all things affiliate coaches should be asking themselves continuously, because if you really want to be a layer, you have to go back and want to find ways to deliver information in, I don't know, 12,000 different avenues. So athletes understand, and you know, you have the visual athletes improving, you have the auditory athletes improving, and the athletes who need the, you know, this is how you do it through tactile cues, they improve as well. And that's what separates your gym from, you know, Bob's gym down the road. So I think it's a really valuable tool. And if you've never tried it before, like, I was so resistant for years. I've heard people say, like, video parts of your class. I'm like, I'm good, thanks. But it actually does help quite a bit, and I'd encourage you to do it.
Do we do it?
April 29th.
TeamMisfit.com, April 29th. I would suggest, I don't know, 4 to 7 days prior to April 29th. So you can get in there and get your program downloaded and talk to your coaching staff and be a layer and create some buzz and develop that culture. But yeah, I'm really excited for this year. It's really cool to be able to have our laboratory out there in the gym. You know, Sherb, you're standing in your lab right now. And then, you know, we have the ability to put this information out to other people as we continue to learn, apply, and refine. So teammisfit.com, 1 week before April 29th, get yourself prepared as a coach, get your gym prepared, get everybody excited. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Misfit Podcast. Do not forget spring cleaning. sharpentheaxeco.com, April 10th through the 12th. Head to discord.gg/misfitathletics if you would like to be in the group that finds out when they can go buy all of the gear before the general public even has a chance, and then they won't be able to buy anything, and they'll send me a message and say, what the fuck, there's no XL t-shirts. So be one of those people that gets the XL t-shirts. All right, see you next week.